But I wanted to talk about today about choosing a wrong friend. There's an article that I run across that, in fact, it was a reporter in the Hollywood Reporter. Now, I'm not up on all these modern actresses and different things like that and the social media stuff. I just run across things that kind of picks my interest a little bit and I look at it. But the actress Angelina Jolie was recently set down for an interview with a reporter from the Hollywood Reporter. And the interviewer asked her a question. He asked, who do you call when you need to talk to somebody? And she said, I really don't have those kind of relationships. And maybe it's losing your parents at a young age. I don't know. Maybe it's working. I don't know. Maybe it's being with somebody who has betrayed you a lot. I don't know. I don't have a lot of warm and close relationships. So choosing wrong friends or being betrayed by someone that we trust can really make us cynical about a lot of things. And when we grow fearful of friendships, and I don't want any of us to be fearful of a friendship because we need close friends. But we also need the wisdom to select our friend wisely. That gives us that information in Proverbs, but also in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, it says, the righteous person chooses their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Now, I think this might be especially true when it comes to the spiritual forces around us. And I believe that we are living in a pivotal point of history. We're in the midst of tumultuous and unprecedented change in things, war, rumors of war. It's overwhelming sometimes of the ungodliness that's around us. Yet we are tempted to sometimes compromise our faith because the pressure has intensified. They're coming at us from very diverse perspectives. Always we're bombarded with all kinds of stuff. And I think then we need to choose our friends and influences very, very carefully. Like Janie said about fellowshipping with like-minded people. Church people is the same way. It's always good to fellowship with like-minded church people. Or on the outside, people that have the same interests in different things. And the Bible tells us that it is the spirit of Antichrist in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. Now, I'm not talking about the man of lawlessness who will personally appear at the end of the age of grace, and he will be possessed by satanic power. But the Apostle John, I love the Apostle John, told us the spirit of Antichrist will precede that man. So even in John's day, the spirit of Antichrist was in the atmosphere. It was all that going on at the time. The spirit of Antichrist was there. So John wrote in Little John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Jesus even told us a couple of things when he was here. He said, test the spirit and make sure it's of me. There was a lot of people at that time by the name of Jesus, but you always hear us talk about Jesus of Nazareth, and the reason we do that is that's where the Messiah was to come from, was in Nazareth. So in order to focus in on who the right Jesus is, we always say Jesus of Nazareth. And then he told us to test the spirit and make sure it's of him. So if somebody or something doesn't align with God and his word, or discredits the Lord Jesus, the spirit of Antichrist is at work, and it's not trustworthy. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, is true, a true Messiah and a true friend. He is both God and man. He is Messiah, the anointed one, who is the same for now and forever. Little John chapter 2, verses 15 through 18 says this also, because the world is not our friend. And if we think about what John, the Apostle John, is saying, in chapter 2 talks a little bit about this, and good advice. Do not love the world, he said, or anything in the world. And if anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. The blessed hope. I love this. He always, dear children, that's us. Dear children, this is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even many Antichrists are coming and have come. So he's given us advice about the love of the world. He's given us advice about lust and pride, which represents the spirit of Antichrist. Instead, he's saying, do the will of God. Teach your children about distinguishing characteristics of holiness. Now, we as Methodists and the Wesleyan theology, John Wesley talked an awful lot about holiness. And it's something that you ought to study sometime, because we are all about holiness and about how we should live our life. Then he went on to say, the Apostle Paul said, use the things of the world if not engrossed in them. You can use them, but don't be engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31, one of the passages that I read. So they're telling us to teach our children and help them to recognize good from evil. We are in a world where there is good and evil. We're in a world where there is the devil, an actual devil. We're in a world that was created by God. And we have this tug of war going on all the time. And we need to be spiritually aware of that. That's why I always say, keep your physical eyes open. Be aware of your surroundings as we go out and about, because you don't know who's out there anymore. But also keep your spiritual eyes open. Because we need to be able to recognize good and evil. And we need to be able to understand why they're different. And why it's important, as we said in church, think about those things. And also what's important. We've got a lot of different translations of the Bible, and that's okay. Use them. Do a Bible study in your own time and with your own family. And use the Bible as your basis for fellowship with one another and with God Almighty. So you might want to choose better friends, but you can't choose a better friend than Jesus. And he had said that we are in the world, not of the world, but we got to deal with worldly stuff while we're here. So to find a quiet place in your heart, in the ambitions of your life, in the things that you're striving for, and let Jesus be Lord of your life. Let him be your true friend. When it comes to your calendar, your checkbook, your expenditures, your entertainment, your habits, and yes, even your close friends. I have a good friend. He's a good friend and a good colleague, and he's got a wonderful ministry. His name is Alan Jackson, not the country singer Alan Jackson. This is Alan Jackson from Nashville, Tennessee. He's pastor of World Outreach Church. And he was telling a story that Judy and I can relate to a little bit, because we experienced something very similar when we were stranded in Egypt during 9/11. That's why I can't get her to go back across the pond again. But the experience of traveling to the Holy Land, Israel especially, is very wonderful. And you just can't even express it until you experience it for yourself, taking the Bible, which is the script, to the stage. And when you're there, you don't even know if there's turmoil or people fighting or different things, because the guides, usually a Muslim guide, Christian guide, a Jewish guide, and sometimes an atheist guide, believe it or not, because they're more interested in the archaeology. So that way you've got a good contrast. And it's interesting, I always said that if they could teach people to do some of the things that they do, because when we would take a break, the guys would sit at a table and drink tea and talk about their families and everything like that. There was no, you know, well, I'm a Muslim, so you got to convert to me. You know, none of that. Just fellowship and, you know, understanding one another. But that's not the world we live in. But you, educational opportunities is who we traveled with out of Lakeland, Florida, started by a Methodist pastor some years ago, Jim Ridgway. And So when we were stranded in Egypt, we were fortunate because they always prepare ahead of time our flights. And it just so happened that when the airports opened back up, we were in the queue to come home. Now, we didn't come directly home. They flew us from Cairo to Frankfurt, Germany, where we had another layover, and we finally caught a flight to Atlanta. But Alan was telling a story about friends and how you can develop friends and people that you can trust all around the world. This is what he said. When I lead tours of Israel, I often ask the bus driver to take a little highway down from the Golan Heights. It's a dramatic road with incredible views, but it's also a nail biter for some of the people on the bus. And what made me think about that is when we were one of our trips to Israel, and we were going up from Jericho, because you go up to Jerusalem, we were going up from Jericho in the bus, and when we got about halfway there, the bus driver just took over and went over there, and all of a sudden we were sitting on the window side over here, and oh my God, and Judy yelled, "Oh no!" Because that's where the Valley of the Shadow of Death is, that whole part there. And we were that close to be able to look down and see all that. And would you tell the people in the bus?
I said, "This time and one more will make our bus driver 2 pounds. He could go that way." And everybody said, "Shut up!" I was just joking.
But what made me think about it when Alan was telling the story was our experience, but then what he talked about made me think about that. He said, on one occasion, as we inched around the switchbacks on that road from the Golan Heights, I noticed that the bus driver and our guide was talking. And they were kind of talking, but I couldn't hear what they were saying. And they were also talking in Hebrew, and I know enough of Hebrew to be dangerous, so I really didn't know what they were talking about. But then the driver suddenly stopped the bus on a hairpin turn, and the guy got out, and he found a big, large rock, and he wedged it against the wheel. And then sticking his head back in the bus, he said, "Alan, get all your people out of the bus. We got to evacuate this bus quickly, because we learned that the brakes just went out on the bus." Now I said, "Well, I got a bottle of water, found a shady spot, and I didn't worry much about it because the guide was a good friend of mine, and his responsibility was to get us back to the hotel. And my friend was going to take care of it. He knew the language, he knew the culture, and he knew that there was available buses coming to pick us up because he had a phone, and he spoke the language, and he solved the problem." At the end of the trip, we got back to Newark Airport in New Jersey, but there was an incident there, and they had canceled thousands of flights. And I had 400 people with me on this tour, stranded, and no flights to get home. Now, that was my responsibility, and my Israeli friend wasn't there to help me. And thankfully, I had another friend who at the last minute knew about travel logistics. And she helped us to make our way home and to be able to get a bunch of buses to get everybody back home. The point being, he says, friends make all the difference, but only true friends. There's no truer friend than your relationship with the God who created you, Jesus Christ. He is always with you. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And you think, well, wait a minute. Back then, when he was walking the earth, that's true, but he's not here anymore. But what did he tell us? He's such a good friend. He said, "I'm going to send one greater than I to be with you all the days of your life, the Holy Spirit, to guide you, to strengthen you, to give you comfort, and to give you wisdom." So there's no truer friend than Jesus, because he'll never give up on us. He'll never leave us. He forgives us. He loves us more than he loved his own life, because he gave up his life for us. He's not a God that said, "Okay, you got to kill people for me. Convert or die." No, we have a God that loved us so much that he sent his son into this world to die for us so so that we can have the gift of eternal life. So ask the Holy Spirit when you're studying and doing different things and to show you if you're tolerating too much of the present world order. And don't hold out on Jesus. You don't want to be his friend in one setting and then deny him in another setting. You don't want to be prepared for him to acknowledge him. You always got to be ready. Wesley used to tell his preachers, and it's passed on to us modern day preachers, that always have a sermon in your hip pocket, because you never know when you're going to be called upon to encourage somebody with a message. And it's the same with your friend Jesus. He is always there with us. So acknowledge him in all the days of your life, in the workplace, anywhere. Acknowledge him. Let him know that you love him, you care for him, and you're grateful that he's your friend. So when you turn away from anything in your life, maybe routines or habits or relationship, that diminishes your righteousness, because righteousness simply means you're in right standing with God. That's what makes you righteous. Seek the Lord and spend less time thinking about foolishness, watching less news, which I have a hard time doing. I'm a news junkie, but either it's an excuse or it's true, because Judy says, you watch that stuff too much. I said, well, I need to know what's going on in the world so that I can better be prepared and watch and preach and different things like that, because I know there's turmoil coming. But sometimes I can probably maybe should just turn it off. But spend more time with Jesus rather than being online tracking down theories of the week, or more importantly, what might be going on in the crazy world, and seek and think about the person of Jesus, your friend. Look for the existence of God's activity in your life, and keep your eyes on the invisible realities of God rather than on the visible images of the earth. And use your voice, your influence, to encourage things like holiness and purity, and speak up for them. Be a public advocate for them. Act out the truth that you know, and be true to your friend Jesus, because he is the one who will never betray you. He's a true friend, the truth personified, and in him there is nothing but truth.